3 days before Samoa announced a state of emergency on March 20th, three significant pieces of draft legislation were tabled in Parliament: the Constitutional Amendment Bill, the Land and Titles Bill, and Judicature Bill. The three bills were tabled as a package of legislation in February 2020, have passed their first and second reading, and have been referred to a select committee for hearings. This morning on a Pacific Breakfast, we have a very special panel, Talanoa, to discuss land and titles, court and constitutional reforms, its impacts if passed. I'm joined now by Leiatawa Lesa Komisi Korea, President of the Samoa Law Society. Leiatawa is a partner at Clark E. Korea Lawyers and specialises in court litigation and advisory work across a wide range of sectors, including tourism, manufacturing and financial services. And joining us on the phone, Taulapapa Brenda Heather Latu, former Attorney General of Samoa between 1997 to 2006, making her the longest serving office holder to date. Saunoa Mali'i, Dr. Karenino Sumea, who is the current EEO Employment Equal Employment Opportunities Commissioner at the Human Rights Commission. She has done a PhD on land and empowerment of urban women, whawhiwhine and whakareiti in Tongan and Samoa. And Seo Lupe Whareniko Tominiko, Director of Pacific Success at Unitech Institute of Technology and Marsden Research Fellow on the Marsden Transnational Matai Research Project, headed by Lupe Matasila, Dr. Melanie Anai. We welcome your comments this morning, your questions to the panel, and a very warm welcome to all our panellists. Ma no soifua, for thank you all so much for your time this morning.
Soifua manuia, ma.
Manuia no fionga ma.
And thank you also joining us on the phone, Taulapapa. Thank you also for your time this morning, Taulapapa. Taulapapa. Okay, then we will continue. Firstly, Taulapapa, this question was going to be for yourself, but until we can get you joined in again, Leiatawa Lesa, can you give us an overview of how the Land Court currently operates?
Sure, thank you, Ma'a. So the Land and Titles Court is set up under a specific piece of legislation, which is called the Land and Titles Court Act 1981. Under that act, you've got a Land and Titles Court, which is presided over by a president and whamasino Samoa or Samoan judges. Now, the jurisdiction or the authority of the Land and Titles Court is particular to disputes that relate to Samoan land and Samoan chiefly titles. So it's kind of limited to that area, which is basically what's core to all Samoans. That's our identity. It's the Samoan, the land that we belong to, and the Samoan titles that our families carry. So there are two levels of proceedings you can have when you first take your petition to the Lands and Titles Court. It's heard before a panel of judges. There is an opportunity to appeal a decision by that panel, and that will be heard before the president and other Samoan judges. At present, you have an opportunity once you've had the appeal heard. Mm-hmm. If you feel that you haven't been treated fairly by the Lands and Titles Court, there is currently an avenue by which you can seek a review of the Lands and Titles appeal decision by the Supreme Court, which is presided over by the justices of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has authority to review the proceedings, the process that was applied within the Lands and Titles Court to ensure that you were treated fairly. And that would be the final avenue. So in terms of the process, you can begin in the Lands and Titles Court first instance. You can appeal to the appeal division of the Lands and Titles Court, but you can also have that decision reviewed by the Supreme Court.
And whakateitere lava, lea tau le sā. And to you now, tau le papa, last year you led an inquiry into complaints made against the three judges or suspended judges of the Land and Titles Court. As part of that inquiry, what were some of the issues around the Land Court or Land and Titles Court or the process in general, please?
Mālo lava suifua, Brian. In essence, it was it seemed to be a very common attitude amongst the judges that they didn't need to try that hard at the first instance, and if they made any mistakes, they'd just leave it up to the appeal court.
Now, in terms... Tony Papa.
I guess it was sort of weren't that, faithful to their oaths in many senses.
Back to you, Letao Alisa. In terms of the bills that are being proposed, talk to me about the impacts on the Samoan Constitution and the Land Titles Court, if passed, please.
Okay, thanks, Ma. So one of the bills that are before Parliament now is the Constitution Amendment Bill 2020, and that makes some very significant changes to the Constitution. One of those changes is to change the way that our courts are set up. So there will now be a new court called the Lands and Titles Court, which will be a separate and independent court. What that means is the Lands and Titles Court will no longer be subject to the supervisory jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. As I mentioned earlier, the Supreme Court has the authority to review the proceedings in all of the other courts to ensure that matters are dealt with fairly and that they are dealt with in accordance with the Constitution. Now, under the change, the Lands and Titles Court will no longer be under that authority of the Supreme Court, which means that the avenue that I described earlier, where you can seek a review of your Lands and Titles Court decision by the Supreme Court, that will no longer be available. Now, the second major change to the Constitution will be that the fundamental human rights that are currently protected under the Constitution, they're currently protected for all people, no matter what. Under the change, there will now be a class of people who cannot enjoy those fundamental human rights. And those rights include the right to life, the right to a fair trial, which is very important for the Lands and Titles Court, the freedom of movement and the freedom of expression. There are those will no longer be available to people who go before the Lands and Titles Court to have their matters heard in that court, because the Constitution will now actually say specifically that those rights will no longer have application in the Lands and Titles Court. The third significant change will be that the Lands and Titles Court will have an expanded jurisdiction. As I mentioned earlier, it currently only has authority to deal with disputes relating to lands and titles, Samoan lands and chiefly titles. That jurisdiction will now be expanded to cover all matters to do with Samoan custom. So the description of this court in the Constitution amendment will be, it will have supreme authority in relation to all matters to do with Samoan custom. And that's a huge expansion of its role and of its authority. And we haven't seen what the effect will be, but there are concerns that have been raised by the Law Society about how that jurisdiction will be defined.
Tauna Papa, I want to come back to you, please, before we connect with Saono Mali'i and Seo Lupe. In terms of, our Samoan diaspora around the world and, still the strong ties back to the families in Samoa, land, etc., how will that impact those living outside the country if these changes, these reforms do go through?
Brian, it will impact them in a very direct and negative manner. given the diaspora, given the numbers of title holders and also our families who live outside Samoa, if these changes go through, that is the legal constitutional environment that they will be coming back to when they come back home to undertake the, you know, the duties of or perform the observances for their families or their villages or their districts. So it has a direct impact on them because this is what they will be coming home to.
So, Normali'i, as an academic, you've done a study, a PhD, in fact, around this subject. Share some of your thoughts, please.
Yeah, thank you very much, Brian. And hello again to all of our panelists and families listening from home. Just to say that my part here today is not as a Human Rights Commissioner for New Zealand, but as a child of the diaspora, if I can put it that way, and someone who's had a little bit of a look in terms of the issues for our people. So I just wanted to clarify that. What I'm getting a sense of is we have our beloved homeland navigating its way forward. You know, the world has changed, Samoa has changed, customs evolved. You know, we know these things have happened. There's no absolute, and it does appear like they're trying to address some of the issues that were raised. So for example, one of the things that came up from the study were issues about people tending to jump to the court, to land court, instead of trying to sort things out locally, you know, with Aanga Potopoto. So there was concern that perhaps people were jumping to the court, which of course incurs expensive costs for families as opposed to using our traditional avenue. But of course that was happening because there was some distrust within Aanga Potopoto and within villages of that traditional rule. And so it does concern me somewhat that this is such a significant change. I mean, where we're talking about touching on our most, you know, the most precious things that define our culture, our lands, our ability to rule as collective and govern our assets. It is so huge. And yet the pace at which it's been pushed through without proper consultation with the direct with our families who own these lands and own these authorities of Matai, that does seem concerning. And you know, if we change any laws for Samoa, it should be for the benefit of Samoans, and so therefore we should not leave them behind in the debate, which appears to be one of the biggest concerns right now. But you know, I certainly see where Taula Papa is coming from. If, say, for example, one of the provisions that's been amended is that we limit the number of sa'o families to 5, well, we know in the past that a lot of Matai titles have gone predominantly to men. So that immediately raises questions for me around equity, gender equity. So, and also it means, you know, it's like in the past when Palangis came to the Pacific, they said, oh, let's give them all one name, and then all of a sudden they will magically work together. But that doesn't happen in a country like ours, where people are used to self-governing and exercising accountability for themselves. So it is concerning, and I would like to hear more from the panelists back home in terms of what's happening. But as Lea Tawalisa said before, the cut between the cutting off of the Supreme Court for me is very alarming, because that is the ultimate protection of our fundamental human rights, the right for everyone to be equal and so forth. If we take that, and yet we know that in the past, some of the rulings that have come from the Land and Titles Court have been questionable, then that's a problem. And as Taula Papa said, it will be a problem for all Samoans, whether you live outside Samoa or in Samoa. That is fundamentally concerning from a human rights perspective.
You can actually see some pros in the proposed changes. Share with us, the panel, your thoughts, please.
I guess as a disclaimer first, I've tried to be a neutral observer over the last couple of weeks, and I've read and I've watched and I've listened to a number of arguments for and against by Samoans and by non-Samoans. Unfortunately, I haven't actually read the actual bills because for some reason we can't find them on the internet. So we're sort of going by what's been written in the newspaper and what's been spoken about. However, while I do see some pros, as a sort of a disclaimer, I must admit that the cons of the three proposals far outweigh any pros that there are. So for me, in terms of trying to be a neutral observer, I actually, you know, reading what the government's commentary on this, you know, one of the pros is it's about giving the Land and Titles Court the respect that it deserves. And again, one of the commentaries from the government is about recognising custom or the What Samoa in the constitution, making it more Samoan. While I think those are very desirable intentions, we all know that intentions and actions are two different things. And that I also believe that the way that the government has gone about doing it isn't really in line with What Samoa. We have the concept of soalaupule, and again, what I've read from various media sources is that it seems to have been put in there under the night of COVID-19. And so, look, while I think the intentions are desirable by the government, making it more Samoan and giving the Land and Titles Court more sort of a co-equal footing, I think that an overhaul of the current constitution is not the way to do it. You know, we often hear the Samoan saying, "Esui whaingai tu mau whaavai." In this instance, the whaavai is being changed, which doesn't sort of sit well. But yeah, that's sort of a light-hearted look at probably what is the only pro of the current situation.
Now, the former Attorney General, Le Malu Herman Paul Retzlaff, posted a statement on the 27th of April, 11:10 a.m. to be exact, and I think he is now currently residing in New Zealand pursuing other opportunities. I quote verbatim, "The proposed amendments in terms of practice would initiate a sudden separation of the Westminster modelled courts and lands and titles courts in Samoa, since its constitutional independence in terms of their jurisdictional responsibilities, as that is already in place." Taole Sa, Taole Papa, any of our panellists, your response?
Brian, I...
Thank you.
That statement is patently wrong. The Westminster approach to government is an approach to government where you have the three branches and a separation of powers. Discussions about the independence of the judiciary, that's just about one branch. And what we're saying here is that these bills undermine not only the Westminster style of government, but also undermines the independence of the judiciary as being the only branch that has not been basically corrupted by the current government. So it's not one thing or the other. It's parts of one overall concept of government that we decided to accept at independence.
Thank you, Taole Papa. Lea Taole Sa, your thoughts?
Well, I was just about to say exactly what Taole has just said. So I think the other, from memory, one of the comments by former Attorney General Retzlaff was that these bills allow a further avenue of appeal, which is correct. One of the changes under the new structure will be that there will be another layer of appeals that are available to parties within the Lands and Titles Court. But what's important and what's most concerning to the Law Society is the fact that even though we're adding another layer of appeal, we're also removing the protection of the Supreme Court, whereby we're able to have that oversight by the Supreme Court which oversees and makes ensures that our constitutional rights are protected and throughout the whole of the proceedings within the Lands and Titles Court. So it's very concerning to the Law Society that's the change that government has proposed. And otherwise I agree with what Talapapa has just commented on.
If you tuned in, we're currently running a special Pacific Breakfast Taranoa panel around proposed changes to Samoan Constitution and also around the Land and Titles Courts. Your calls are welcome. Questions 0800 000 531, 0800 000 531, or questions via our live stream on our Facebook page 531PI. One of the comments for proponents of the proposed changes is around the cutting down of the time or the process for any cases that are currently going through the Land and Titles Courts, which has over many years been a concern for people taking taking grievances. Panelists, your thoughts, please. Sono Mali'i, Seolupe Famonmole.
Perhaps I just jump in just for briefly.
So Brian, that was one of the findings. You're giving the same group of people who have been responsible for delays for 30, 20, 10 years, greater authority, and then you're popping on top someone who was in charge of the whole system for 35 years and allowed these delays to actually happen. So I can't see how by adding another layer and giving it to the same people who were responsible for the delays over the last 30 years is going to make a difference.
Thank you, Tony Papa. So normally...
Yeah, I mean, that was, it's a well-known problem, the delays. And I don't know, you would think that if there is a delay, then you'd resource the court, you'd fund the processes to try and minimize the delay, which is quite a different issue to actually removing the power of the Supreme Court to oversee. So I'm not quite sure whether what's being proposed is addressing the problem. From the outside, I'm not sure that is the way to address the delays and concerns about conflicts of interest in the Land and Titles Court itself by separating it from the Supreme Court. So just from an outsider, that would be one question that I would pose to people drafting this legislation.
I guess in terms of addressing these delays, and we all know that the shortcomings that the Land and Titles Courts has, I honestly don't feel that changing the constitution will address that. Those are operational matters. Those are internal structure matters, and the only way that those can be addressed is to address it at that level.
In terms,
I agree fully with what said. I agree with what Sir Luke has just mentioned about the changes needed being operational, administrative changes. But aside from that, I want to mention that there is a report from 2016 that actually sets out very clearly what those operational changes should be. And on a review of the new bills, a lot of those recommendations aren't actually being addressed in the changes that have been proposed by the government. I also want to mention that having reviewed the actual Lands and Titles Bill 2020, a lot of the timeframes, the statutory timeframes for different proceedings have actually been increased rather than, kept at the same level or decreased. So, for example, when you've had a salfa'i for a new matai bestowal, there's currently a three-month advertising period, where you invite objections to that bestowal. Under the new amendment, there's actually going to be a six-month, that's going to be doubled to 6 months, and that's going to increase the time that people, for pure reasons or, just to delay things, can actually object to bestowals. That's going to be doubled. A lot of the different notice periods have been doubled to 6 months. And there's no policy rationale that explains why there's been that increase. So I think instead of doing the things that have been proposed by a very capable parliamentary select committee back in 2016. The government has chosen to do something completely different and sometimes the opposite of what actually has been recommended.
And you've mentioned, Le Atawalasa, about the select committee, and I'd like to quote again from the Facebook post of former Attorney General Le Malu Herman Paul Retzlaff from the 27th of April select committee. My experience in appearing before these committees is that they move in integrity, are hardworking, receive the views and opinions of the public respectively, and take them very seriously into account. Of course, we are talking about the proposed changes now before select committee. Your comments, please, panel.
Well, I, in my role as Attorney General, appeared before those committees for 10 years, and generally that's true. But we are in a situation where we have a mute Parliament. By mute, I say that nobody is allowed to say anything except for the Prime Minister. What we have in this committee, for the first time that I've ever seen, is that you have a group of MPs who are on the outer. They're not ministers, they're not associate ministers, but I guess all of them would like to be. So the way that they've greeted their appointments is as active and positive supporters of the three bills. And in that regard, they have been largely combative, and they've been debating with people who are there to present their own views. And that's not the role of select committee. So even in the way in which these bills are being treated, they have basically taken on the behaviour and the attitude of the Prime Minister and the way that they're treating the citizens of Samoa who are coming to present their views about the bills. So they've been combative, they've been rude, and they've been basically complete breach of our protocol, very le mafofau.
I want to ask, please, what the process is from here in terms of going before the select committee with either yourself, Le Atawalasa, or Taulupapa, and then final thoughts from our panellists, please.
Well, at the moment, we, the public, have been invited to give submissions, but you have to bear in mind that they've already finished the second reading debate. So there's only one more time when these bills go back, and that's for the vote as to whether or not they'll be passed. This party has 47 out of 50 parliamentary seats. They only need 26 to pass an ordinary bill, and they need three-quarters, 30-something, to pass the constitutional amendment. So there's no doubt that if they will stand together and do what they're told, that these bills will be passed. What this process, though, has resulted in is a lot more of this country and also all the diaspora putting their hand up and saying, wait a minute, this is wrong. And I'm hoping that the government, well, actually, it's not the government, the Prime Minister, he is the government, he's the legislature, he's everything, that he is listening to the views of Samoan people in Samoa and all over the world who are saying, stop, this is not good enough, this is not what we want, and I'm hoping that that will happen.
Thank you, Taulupapa. Final thoughts, please, and can we begin with Saunō Māli'i, Saulupe, and then Le Atawalasa, and finally Taulupapa, Whamulimuli.
Thank you. I hear Taulupapa's view, and I fear that democracy is dead in Samoa. And, you know, it's that I saw a clip of a debate that involved Pia Memata Afa and the Prime Minister. And to be honest, I thought it was disgusting behavior from the Prime Minister to talk to Pia Memata Afa in that way. It's kind of symbolic of how I feel Samoans are being treated at the moment. They're being dismissed, their concerns, their wisdom is being dismissed right now. And the consultation, so-called consultation select committee process is very tokenistic. So I am very concerned for our country and our homeland right now going forward, unless something changes. Something has to change quickly because we're going down into a non-democratic society, and we fought too hard for our country to go backwards like this. We need to treat our people with better respect, and we need to listen to them.
Sorupe, thank you so no mali. Sorupe.
While I support the ideology of making things in Samoa more indigenous to Samoa, I honestly believe that the current three bills that are currently being proposed will not achieve that. And as I said before, the saying is sui whaingai tu mau whaavai. I think it's in the operations that we're able to achieve the Samoanization or the indigenization of things like that, but definitely not in the changing of the constitution.
Thank you, Ma. Yeah, I too think, I too hope that the Prime Minister listens to the voice of the people, not only living in Samoa, but out diaspora overseas. From experience and over the last however many years, from what I've seen, I think that might not happen. But what has been encouraging for me over the last 7 weeks since the Law Society has been looking at these issues is the willingness of people in the general public to put their hands up, like Tolupapa says, and voice their concerns and voice their opinions about these bills. We've started to see different villages and different constituencies actually go to their MPs and say to them, what is going on? What are you going to say on behalf of our constituency about these bills? And I was actually at a meeting on Saturday where my village in Manongo actually decided that they would try to take their avenue, which is very encouraging, which is very, very encouraging, because people are actually, that's the only way you can take power back from government is for the people in our villages at the grassroots level to put their hands up and say, this is what we're going to do. And I can only hope that we see more of that going forward so that we can get government to pay attention.
And finally, Taulapapa Whamulumule.
Thank you, Brian. I guess it's really a message to the leader and the members of the Human Rights Protection Party, HRPP. They've been in power for 39 years. And really, why don't you return to your original purpose, protect human rights, restore democracy in Samoa, and reject tyranny, which is where we are now, and get rid of these bills.
A very big thank you, Whakataitele Lava, to our panellists this morning. Lea Taule Sa, ko Misi, ko Ria, Taule Papa, Brenda, Heather Latu, Sao Noa Mali'i, Dr. Karenina Sumeo, and Seu Lupe Whaleniko, Tomeniko. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it. Whakataitele Lava, I manuia lava lea so. Thank you all.
Whakataima.
It is 7 minutes or 6 minutes to 9, 5:31 PI Pacific. People together.